I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome back to Digital Spy's Soap Scoop podcast, where every Friday we're chatting with some of our favourite people from the world of soaps and breaking down the biggest goings-on in EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street and Hollyoaks. So, if you haven't figured out by now, or if you are new here, I'm Sophie, Deputy Soaps Editor at Digital Spy, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Ali, Social Media Editor.
Morning, Sophie.
Hi, Ali. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. It's a cold, rainy day in London, as it seems to be all of October. But yeah, apart from that, I can't complain.
I know, it's very gloomy, isn't it? It feels very dark. We're doing this quite, well, fairly early in the morning. So this week is a really special episode, as not only are we halfway through this series, which I can't believe, it's crazy, but today is Hollyoaks' 25th anniversary.
Ooh, happy birthday, Hollyoaks.
Happy birthday. We were going to sing, but like I said, it's still quite early, so we'll leave that out for now. But to help us celebrate, we had a very special guest on to... Yeah, we had the lovely Sarah Jane Dunn, who plays Mandy in Hollyoaks. We had her on for a little bit of a natter.
Yeah, she was absolutely lovely, wasn't she? And it's funny, I think we said this a few times, it was similar to as when we had Ellis on, but like everyone remembers Mandy. So even if you're not kind of a massive Hollyoaks fan now and you used to watch it, and she's come back and she's overall been on the show for such a long time. So she was a joy to speak to. She was really great.
Absolutely. It was so much fun. So yeah, we're going to get onto that in a minute. But I just wanted to also say a very quick thank you for all the lovely feedback we had last week. So many of you enjoyed our interview with Charles, which was great. We enjoyed reading through all the comments. So I hope you enjoy this week's just as much. So without further ado, here is the interview.
Enjoy.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for this very special episode for Hollyoaks' 25th anniversary.
I know. Happy birthday, Hollyoaks.
So exciting. So, one of the biggest stories for the anniversary week is obviously Kurt coming back alive.
I know. What?
I know. Hello. It's mad. So what was your reaction when you found out about that?
Oh, wow. Well, it's just so nostalgic for me. Like, I worked with Jeremy right in the beginning, in the very, very early days, way back when. So to work with him again has been lovely. Also, we've both aged. So that's kind of weird. Like, but yeah, just amazing. I mean, it's exciting, isn't it? And it's exciting that we've hit such a kind of landmark with the show. So to have someone iconic like that back is fantastic.
Did you ever have like an inkling that he might not be dead? Or not really?
Me or Mandy? I don't think either of us did, to be honest, so it's not really relevant.
Well,
to be honest, no, I didn't really work with him very much. So back in the day, Jeremy was like 19 and I was like a 14-year-old. And when you're that age, the age gap is like humongous,
huge.
Isn't it? It's like, oh my God, he's a grown-up. And so we didn't really work together very much, unfortunately. So it's nice now to work together and for our characters to have some interaction.
Yeah, what were those scenes like to do? The ones where... they all sort of turn up and he's at the hutch and it's this big revelation that he's alive and, you know, quite well.
Hilarious, because we were all like, whoa, hi, Kurt. I mean, fun. I mean, working with Nick Pickard is always great fun. And obviously, Tony and Kurt have got the history. And so for us, it was more kind of watching that relationship and that reaction rather than us reacting to it, I'd say, more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. So you've obviously been, well, Mandy's been in the show more or less since the beginning, I think since 1996.
Yeah, that's right.
So what has been, this is a difficult question, but what's been your favourite story of Mandy's over the years? And what's been one of the most challenging?
I'd say I've got so many favourites for many, many different reasons, for the people that I've worked with, for the challenges that the storylines have brought, for the location. You know, me and Nick filmed in Rome for 2 weeks when Mandy and Tony got married. So that was obviously an amazing one. And I'd say the most challenging would probably be Mandy and Tony losing baby Grace. I think it was a really important storyline to cover, and it was done really well. The writers and the researchers, director, everyone on that block, it was just amazing. And I really remember we really got very involved in the storyline, and it was tough. It was tough to film, and it was heavy, and you know, it was kind of, it was probably the only one that I've really taken home with me of an evening and found hard to kind of shake off. But I think it paid off, and I'm glad that we told that story.
Yeah, I still remember that.
Yeah.
It stays with you, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I think something that I was quite curious about, Sarah, was some of those heavier storylines, especially thinking about something like, obviously, Mandy's kind of like the abuse storyline from years ago now and stuff. Yeah. Like, it strikes me, because obviously you were so young when you started on the show. Like, what was your kind of, how did you feel about exploring those storylines at such a young age yourself? Like, obviously now we know Hollyoaks is kind of known for these groundbreaking storylines, but at the beginning it must have been quite kind of scary, daunting to kind of go into those.
Yeah, it was, but it was also, for me, it was a really big moment because it was Mandy's first big storyline, and I really felt that by giving me that storyline, the producers and writers trusted me to be able to tell it. And I think it was a real turning point for Mandy, you know, and myself actually maturing. And it was kind of, for me, my mum was actually chaperoning me at the time, because I was 14, 15 at the time when we did that storyline. So I had my own mum there with me to make sure everything was okay. If there was anything that I felt uncomfortable with, which I didn't, but, you know, she was there to check in. She was overseeing everything and everyone checked in with her. So actually that was a really nice kind of comfort to have her there. And also to have her go, yeah, you know, I think you've done really well on that, and don't be scared of trying a little bit more. And yeah, so it was good. And I just, for me, like I say, it was the confidence that it gave me that the writers and producers trusted me enough to give me this big storyline. And again, it's another one that I'm really pleased that we told, and I think it really actually developed the character. And
yeah, definitely,
you know,
yeah, it's funny, that's it, that very much echoes. So we spoke to Ellis a few weeks ago now, but he said something very similar, because I was like, you know, with doing those storylines, especially, you know, stories around being such a young dad, and like, how was that, how kind of having your mum on set? And he said, yeah, the same thing, that it was very kind of really comforting actually to have her there, and it also becomes almost like a full-time job for the chaperone, because they're so involved in everything that's going on.
Well, that's it. Like, Ellis's mum was always on set. So I started working with Ellis when he was 4 years old. Can you believe it? So he was the same age as my own son is now.
That's so funny.
Terrifying. So he was like a little brother to me in real life. And his mum was always there, and she's lovely. And yeah, it's nice, because you do become like, it becomes your second family.
One of the great things about Hollyoaks, and one of the, as we come up to the 20th anniversary, is like seeing those kind of a new generation come up, and you know, this exploring new storylines that kind of relate to what it means to be young at different points. So like, obviously the big thing at the moment with County Lines, and as we kind of begin to see Ella's involvement in that, I'd be quite curious to see from Mandy's point of view, like, what you think Mandy's reaction to Ella's involvement in that storyline is going to be, especially as we kind of see Ella sort of be coerced into it by Juliet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fantastic storyline that we're working on doing that now, because it is a story that hasn't been told before, and it's something that is happening. And it's really interesting, like you say, for me as Mandy to see Ella come up and be involved in this storyline, and actually to see how she will respond. And I'm not even sure myself, because it's such a delicate subject, and she's already been through so much with Ella. I mean, Ella was in foster care, obviously Luke was an alcoholic, she's nearly lost her before, so I think this will be a really testing time for the characters. And it, again, it's showing Ella maturing. You know, she started out, she's this little, a little diddy little innocent little thing, and suddenly she's become entangled in all this drama and really heavy stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a fantastic one to tell and for the audience to see.
Yeah, I mean, we saw obviously the flash forward scenes last year, didn't we? Well, like last December. So we know kind of where this is going. But we were talking to Ellis about this. I mean, what a year to do a flash forward.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I know, I know.
Do you know what? If any of the years to do it, I think, do you know, why not go all in? We at the beginning, when we did this last year, we all had a big meeting and we sat down and we're like, this is going to be a challenge. It's never been done before. Yeah. It's going to be massive. You know, this isn't it. You can't change your hair. You can't change it. And then suddenly 2020 lands. And I think it's kind of testament to the show that we're still managing to pull this off and do it. So yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I think it's such an ambitious idea anyway. Why not make it twice as ambitious and just kind of in the craziest year?
Why not throw a global pandemic on top of that? Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
Make it even more challenging. So do you know if how many of the flash forward scenes had to be sort of sped up to get to the end of the year? Because obviously you didn't film for a few months earlier on in the year, did you?
Yeah. So I think we've just had to, I mean, the writers have been working nonstop, obviously piecing this all together and bridging the gap. So obviously we lost about 4 months of filming and the show came off down to 2 episodes a week on air. So that managed to pull things out a little bit, which was great, and elongate how much time we had. But they've just had to bridge the gap. We lost a couple of storylines. So I had scripts just before we went into lockdown and everything in those scripts basically went. So there's just had to be amendments and tweaks. And it has just been a challenge to now tell the story and still get to that point where the viewers saw New Year's Eve last year and New Year's Eve this year. But I think it's really worked. I think also the audience will be quite forgiving, I think, of every show at the moment, because everyone knows what we've been through and what we're still going through. But yeah, I think it still really works. And it's made it slightly more interesting, actually, because of the way that it's had to be told now.
Definitely. Yeah. I was going to say, is it the same? Obviously, there's only so much you can say, but do you think it's kind of similar for the plans around today for the anniversary? I imagine some of those things had to kind of be reshuffled slightly or kind of moved forward in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I only really know about my own storyline because that's kind of how you work. And so I know that mine got tweaked slightly and is slightly different to what it was supposed to be. It's a bit of a shame because it was quite a nice, big, dramatic thing. But, you know, there's still time to tell that story and there's still time for all of the other things to happen. I think that's what will happen. Anything that kind of hasn't been told or had to be taken out will just be pushed back and will happen at some other point. So that's quite exciting. And in terms of everyone else's, we kind of don't really, unless we cross over on those storylines, you don't really find out. So it's actually almost as exciting for us to sit and watch the show to kind of go, oh, I didn't know that was happening with that character. And it's fun.
Yeah. And I think, like you say, I think everyone is in the same boat, right? So everyone, I think the viewers and the audience definitely will be understanding and kind of have an idea that this is happening. And so they'll be excited, I think, just to see what's happening regardless.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And there's so much happening still, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, it's still all going off. Don't worry about that.
So another big announcement we've had recently is the one that Brian Kirkwood is obviously leaving soon. So how did you feel about that? Because you've worked with him for a long time, haven't you?
I have. Really sad, because I think Brian knows the show inside out. He is passionate about it. He loves it. He's brought a lot of these stories, you know, to the forefront and has been brave enough to go, this is what we're doing and we're really going to go for it. He brought Mandy back, so I'm obviously really grateful for that. And, you know, long may she reign. But yeah, you know, things change, don't they? And he's with us till the end of the year, so he's not gone yet. So that's fantastic. He's here for the 25th anniversary and to tell all of those stories and see those stories through. And then we'll see what's in store for the next chapter of Hollyoaks. I mean, I've been there through a few different producers. So, you know, way back at the beginning, it was Jo Hallows, and she was a fantastic producer and she loved and knew the show and was passionate about it and made it what it was back then. So it's, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it? I'm sad that he's going, obviously really sad that he's going, but it's his decision and it's exciting to see what he'll go on to And then what will happen for our show?
Yeah, and it'll be a new you'll enter a new phase of the show, right?
Exactly.
That's the way it goes, like you say.
Exactly, and someone hopefully really exciting will come in and put their stamp on the show, and that's what's exciting about getting new people in. And that the show evolves all the time, so, you know, whether that's new cast, new crew, it's constantly changing, and that's because fresh blood's coming in, so.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what makes it one of the things that's most exciting about doing a continuing drama like this, is that you do have this kind of, like, there's new blood coming into it all the time. You're always interacting, I imagine, with new actors, new cast, new crew.
It keeps it fresh, that's it. And, you know, it's 25 years old, as we're saying, so it can't stay the same people for 25 years. That's just not possible, so it has to change.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of new cast and things changing slightly, if you can, coming into the flash forward, there were scenes with Ollie, and obviously that's Aidan stepped back, and we're having a new actor coming into play, and we just wondered whether you'd worked with the new Ollie yet, basically, and how that's been.
He's brilliant. He's lovely. He's been thrown straight in at the deep end. God love him. Yeah. but I think that's good. I mean, he's coming and he's had to really find the character and work with everybody. He's worked with pretty much all of us, I think. And he's very excited. He's very professional. And yeah, it's exciting for him to be able to come in and portray the character Ollie and obviously now make him his own while still keeping the history that Ollie's had. He's such a big character and he's such an important character to myself, to Mandy as well. So it's exciting.
He's a very important character to have in the show, because he's got all these historical roots to all these big characters who've been there for ages.
Yeah, he's linked to a lot of people, but yeah, like I say, it's super exciting for him to be able to come in and explore a character like that.
definitely, it's a great role.
Yeah.
Right, and very finally, I think we are about to wrap up, but I'm going to ask you another quite big question now. What do you think is coming up for Mandy in 2021? Or what would you like to see?
Oh, I want to see her happy. I always say that. I just want to see her happy. She's been through enough, but I don't think that's going to happen for a little while. So the County Line storyline is obviously huge. All of that has to play out. And obviously Ella's very much involved in that. So it's going to be a bit of a bumpy road again, I think, for her. Darren is obviously still going through his depression and has only just kind of coming to terms with that. So as a couple, they've got a lot to kind of work through. I really hope that works out for them, because I really think Mandy and Darren are meant to be together. They've just not had the best start. And and I'd love to just, you know, I'd love to see her working with all of Cindy and Luke and, you know, Tony and Diane, and maybe for the restaurant to actually come off the ground again, because that's had COVID's not been good for the Hutch. So
it's funny, everyone we speak to when we ask them that question, the answer is always, we just want to see my character happy.
Characters aren't happy in soap, though, are they?
No.
It doesn't happen like that.
No, and we, as a viewer, you're like, oh, I'd like to see that, but then also
you want to see the drama.
Do I? Yeah, exactly.
And it's real life. You're not happy all the time in real life, so that's the way it goes, isn't it?
Very true.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that is all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Thank you, Sarah. And happy birthday to Hollyoaks again.
Yay!
25.
We'll get a cake out.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So that was our chat with Sarah Jane Dunn to mark Hollyoaks' 25th anniversary. They're 25. That's older than probably half the cast, which is just...
I know, I'm trying to think of if there's anything special you can do on your 25th birthday, but at that point it's just kind of, you know, the normal cakes and candles and stuff, but I'm sure the cast and crew are celebrating.
Definitely,
this week.
It's weird. 25 as a human isn't all that big a deal, but in Soapland, it's a big one, I think. Really, really exciting.
I think I said to you this the other day, Sophie, that we seem to be, it's a year of anniversaries for Corrie, yeah. EastEnders and Hollyoaks. Which is interesting, and it's exciting to see how they're all kind of celebrating. And obviously, we had, you know, the EastEnders big celebration at the first half of the year, and then we've got Hollyoaks and Corrie as we move into winter, kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, as Sarah was saying, I think the Hollyoaks' plans had to change a little bit, obviously because of the current situation. But they still, as always, brought the drama. They always do.
Yes,
yeah. And they'll be keeping the momentum going into next week, actually, which leads us on to the spoiler section from the week commencing October 26th.
That's right. Yeah, so this is the bit of the podcast where we break down, as Sophie said, the kind of the biggest goings on in Hollyoaks, Coronation Street, Emmerdale and EastEnders. And yeah, this is spoilers for the 26th to the 30th. And I think it makes sense to start with Hollyoaks because Sarah's kind of given us a good clue as to what's happening, especially with the return of Kurt.
So that is going to be, you know, ongoing for the coming weeks. But next week, you know, he's really hitting the ground running. He's got this big business venture. I think Sarah did touch on that for the Hutch. That's struggled, obviously, in the current climate. And so he's got this big old idea to get that booming again. And he's also got his eye on one of the village's females.
Verity. Yeah, it's as Sarah said, she's kind of she was excited to work with him because obviously I think she was saying when she was on the show and he was on the show, they didn't have that much crossover. But now obviously Mandy's going to be involved in his kind of plan for the Hutch, and I think she's going to get involved with some sort of like ad campaign. And it's all kicking off.
It's really nice, I think, because we've got like the characters like Mandy, Darren, Tony, Kurt. You know, they've been there for almost since the beginning. So it's such a nice story to follow up the 25th anniversary with and to sort of see them sort of all come together, this new venture.
Yeah, and like you say, apart from the business stuff, Kurt's kind of other main moves this week or over the next couple of weeks will be in kind of his burgeoning relationship with Verity, which is kind of exciting just because obviously he's not the only person with kind of feelings for Verity.
Yeah, obviously poor Sammy, it's going to be a little bit, having the nose put up joint a little bit. And we've also, obviously, Verity is Tony's sister. So it's a bit orcs. Yeah. I don't know how he'll feel about that, but we'll have to wait and see. And obviously the other big story we've got going on all of next week is this car crash that was first teased a little bit in Hollyoaks' trailer they released a few weeks ago. But it's kind of a culmination of this Sienna and Brody's plan to leave. Yes. They're trying to escape Warren. Not a good idea, guys. Never is. And it kind of all goes a bit wrong. It's not entirely clear at the beginning of the week who's actually involved in this car crash. There's going to be like a flash forward. They love a flash forward scene, don't they, Hollyoaks?
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to get a classic Hollyoaks flash forward scene as we kind of get, it looks like a tease of some sort of car accident. Someone's kind of been injured. There's broken headlights. It's kind of classic dramatic Hollyoaks fare. Basically the idea is, you know, can Sienna and Brody escape? And can they do it without kind of, you know, ringing alarm bells?
Yeah, there's so many obstacles. They've got Warren, which I think is fair to say is their biggest one. But there's obviously Liberty as well. And she wants to keep baby Faith. Mm. And she's planning to announce it on the day they're wanting to flee. So, and then I think Sienna has a little bit of a change of heart at the 11th hour, as always is the case in these situations.
Yes.
And Brody gives her an ultimatum, like, you know, if you don't leave with me, this is it. while Warren is hot on their heels. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, who's involved. I think we know Brody is going to be involved in some sort of hit and run drama, but as to whether this is it, have to tune in, guys.
Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned and find out, because it's all, like you say, it's all very exciting and we're getting this kind of classic tease. So as we go into next week, we'll have to see.
Definitely, but I think it's great with Hollyoaks. Like, they'll have their anniversary week, which is always really exciting, but they always keep the momentum going, which is often hard to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's often hard to do with soaps, because you pull out all the stops for your anniversary episode and then you've got to try and keep the weeks that follow.
Yeah,
just as exciting.
Yeah, you have to kind of, I think you have to make, I think with a lot of like these big event episodes, event moments, it's like you either go all in on the day and have that be kind of explosive and then you have the fallout over the kind of following weeks, or you use it as the kind of jumping off point, which I think is what Hollyoaks are doing. They're going to use, you know, the anniversary day to be the kind of the spark that starts off the rest of the storylines over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. So yeah, Hollyoaks all happening. Stay tuned. So we will now jump onto Corrie, where there is a big week planned there also. We've got more gun drama. There's been so many guns pointed at various different people over the last few weeks, haven't there?
Yeah. I think it's just that Corrie's kind of wheeled in some kind of old gangsters, basically, hasn't it, to a certain extent, over the past couple of months. And we know Scott is kind of, you know, the big bad at certain points, and this week he definitely is.
Yeah, they've been taking tips from EastEnders, I think. But yeah, we've got Scott and Johnny's, well, their past is all going to come to a head. So Scott is planning to steal from Ray, who is holding this poker night at the bistro. He's planning to turn up and steal the money. Johnny is refusing to get involved because, you know, he's turned over a new leaf. He's a good guy now, as we can see. He ends up having an MS attack and falls unconscious. Scott, being the villain that he is.
Yeah. To put it politely.
Leaves him lying there, goes into the bistro, holds everyone at gunpoint, and obviously Faye is in there, and Craig has got feelings for her. He gets wind of this, he's a police officer, obviously, and goes in to try and save the day, but sadly ends up getting shot.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if you've seen the photos, but there's like a really creepy, Scott is in this like really creepy clown mask which is weird. But yeah, like you say, Craig is going to be, I think it looks like Johnny's going to kind of come to his senses slightly. He's going to make the phone call to the police. And then Craig, rather than kind of wait for backup, is going to charge in. And then, the worst could potentially happen.
Because he loves Faye. Yeah. Heart takes over his head. Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
So he gets shot. Will he be okay? You have to wait and see. Soz. And then the Scott drama is continuing later in the week, because Johnny, again, he's a good guy. He wants, he wants to confess to the police, to Jenny, but, you know, Scott has other ideas and he ends up holding Jenny at gunpoint this time. Some more gun drama. I mean,
yeah, we've got to be getting to the, because you think about, we only had the stuff with Eileen.
Yeah.
It was only a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's exciting. I think this is going to be, I think lots of people have been kind of, the Scott and Johnny stuff has been bubbling under the surface for a while now, and this is going to be one of the big, big moments that it all kind of comes up. So we'll see how it all shakes out, really, and see if this can be the thing that kind of hopefully helps, in some ways helps, this will be the storyline that means Johnny can move on, potentially.
Hopefully. You know, I think people were really intrigued as to how Jenny's going to react, because she's got a past of her own, but, you know, what he's done in his past is, you know, slightly unforgivable.
I was gonna say Jenny has a past of her own, but not like this.
Oh yeah, so Johnny also, he meets an old woman whose son was involved in a burglary he did in his criminal days, and he finds out that this man struggled so much he became an alcoholic and then he died, which obviously adds a further element to his guilt. It's a case of whether, like you say, whether he can move on, whether Jenny can forgive him, or whether this is it for them.
And then the other big story in Coronation Street that we have to talk about is obviously everyone's like favourite, you know, love to hate him villain, Jeff, is back on the scene this week as stuff kind of bubbles up with Alia. So she, her and Imran are talking about selling Yasmin's house to pay for the legal fees. And obviously that means to kind of get that done, she has these kind of a few conversations with Jeff, and it turns out that obviously Yasmin signed over half her house to Jeff. So in order for them to sell it, they have to kind of come to some sort of agreement with him, which if you've been watching Coronation Street, you know is not going to be an easy thing to do.
No, he's exactly a very agreeable man, is he?
No.
You know, a few weeks ago, I think we had the Jamie Tate sigh, but we've got a Jeff sigh too.
Yeah, the Jeff sigh.
The Jeff sigh. So yes, he is going to be making Alia's life a misery again next week, because she obviously knows that Yasmin wouldn't have handed the house over, half the house, willingly. So she is going to try and get to the bottom of what he's doing with his money. He's got multiple loans against her name. And so she follows him. But obviously, he's always one step of the game, isn't he? Always.
Yeah, and he's always scheming, right? And I think that's how what we're going to see is Ali is going to think she thinks she's kind of got one over on him, and she thinks that he's maybe seeing escorts again. But it looks like that he's running a different scam on a different kind of older woman who listens to him on his radio show. And then and suffice to say, the police get involved. It's all kind of kicking off. Basically.
So later on, she finds him with a younger woman later in like a glitzy restaurant. So he hasn't changed his ways. He's still up to no good as always. But yeah, she'll be getting in trouble with the police for harassment, which is just ridiculous, really, isn't it? I have nothing to say on this matter. So I think on that note, let's jump over to EastEnders, where the big story really this week is involving Kush and his gambling addiction. So we've seen him get increasingly hooked on poker games, like on his phone, like I think during lockdown. I mean, he's living with Slaters. Can you blame him? He's a distraction, I think. And they're obviously in debt, as always. So, I think this week he's going to be making a couple of out-of-character moves, isn't he, Kush? Like, he steals from the till at Ruby's.
Yeah, it's a big one.
And she catches him. Well, she kind of knows what he's doing. She gives him an opportunity to own up. He doesn't. And so then she goes to Kat, Jean and Stacey. Sort of says, like, you know, he's got a gambling addiction. This is what he's done. But because they're sort of not listening, Kush isn't taking any responsibility.
Yeah, it looks like Jean is the only... I mean, if you've been watching the storyline, Jean is the only one that's kind of been raising an eyebrow or paying attention to what's going on with Kush. So the family kind of defend him from this claim from Ruby, but then it looks like maybe they all start to take it seriously, but it might be too late at that point because the kind of the ultimate team up that I didn't see coming at the beginning of the month is Ruby and Suki. Obviously, together, they kind of both want the Slaters out of Wolford. Like, that's their big plan. And so this is the week where they could potentially do that, because from Suki's point of view, the way she's going to do that is by making it basically unlivable for them in their house. Like, if she can force them, if she can make it so they can't pay rent, then she kind of, in her mind, can kick them out. So it looks like they're going to devise a way, which really kind of horribly, to make Kush basically lose all of his money.
They're like the devilish duo, aren't they? The two Wolford sort of business women joining forces.
Yeah,
but I mean, Ruby's getting a little bit darker, I think.
This is a turn I didn't see. I mean, I, like, as much as I think she's the worst, like, Suki's such a good villain. Yeah. Like, she's become kind of out of nowhere, like, every scene she's in, she kind of steals, and she's very good at playing this, like, scheming, kind of conniving person. This turn for Ruby, I think we first started to see it really, in my mind, when her and Martin came back from getting married, if that makes sense. Like, because her attitude to the Slaters kind of fully switched at that point. And now she's kind of, she's not holding back at all.
No, she's obviously was responsible for Stacey's attack. I mean, who does that to I mean, they were friends.
Yeah.
I know Ruby's nicked her husband, but so she's, I mean, she is Johnny Allen's daughter. I think we're seeing that more and more, aren't we?
Yeah.
This little, she joins forces with Suki, and it's really not good news for Kush, because basically they want him to play this poker game. And the idea, I think, is that he loses all his money.
Yeah.
And then he can't pay rent. And then the Slaters have to leave, which works for both Ruby and Suki, doesn't it?
Yeah. Both of them. Yeah, it does. So not very pleasant.
But it's a case of, will he see sense before it's too late? Can they talk him out of it?
Yeah. And like what Martin will, I think seeing what how Martin reacts and interacts with this song as well, because obviously him and Kush are like best buds.
Yeah.
And so will he kind of realise what Ruby's doing, and will he be able to kind of step
where
in?
Where do his loyalties lie? Because he obviously still cares for Stacey as well, like deep down. They've got children together, but
That is the soap question, Sophie. Where do his loyalties lie? Like, that's the thing. You know?
I know. It's always that, isn't it? There's always something that you're a little bit unsure about. But yeah, I think. And then the other story in EastEnders, I mean, we're a little bit limited about what we can say here, but is involving Honey. So we know now that she's got a story coming up. It started to kick off in recent episodes. She's met this newcomer, Paul, who seems nice on face value. She goes on a couple of dates with him next week, but the second date takes a dark turn because he spikes her drink.
And it'll be a case of, I mean, it's a turn that I think, I mean, I'm glad they're giving Honey a new storyline, something to do. Like, she's back, she's been back in the square for a while. Like, we're excited to have her on screen again. So yeah, I'm glad they're giving her something to do. Just hopefully, you know, it all works out, and hopefully my absolute dream family, Billy and Jay, like, come to the rescue. Because I think if anyone can kind of rescue her, it's them. You know, they're the sweethearts of the square. So hopefully.
Yeah, and they care about her. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I think that'll be playing out across, I think, Thursday and Friday are the big ones there. So keep an eye on that. And then... Yeah. Finally, we've been leaving this one to last because, again, but this is Emmerdale, and we could talk about Emmerdale next, and where the big story, unfortunately, is involving Charity cheating on Vanessa.
Right. I mean, speaking of someone getting involved with a kind of suspicious man, it's a hard one. So yeah, the big break for the week is that it looks like Charity is going to kind of cheat on Vanessa slightly. There's going to be a kiss. We know that the pair have kind of been rocky for a while now, since they've kind of been apart. Although I did think, you know, the anniversary, their kind of anniversary episode smoothed things over. But yeah, Charity thinks Vanessa is cheating. They're going through a rocky patch. But anyway, so basically what happens that we know is that Charity gets involved in a car accident, and there's this guy. He's like confident and flirty. They have a flirt back and forth. And then they kind of have a little kiss, which is quite shocking, I think, for the character. Like, quite out of character from what we've seen.
It's such a shame. Like, this is typical Charity. I mean, she's hit the self-destruct button. She thinks that Vanessa is not interested anymore, is seeing someone else. She's very upset, but it doesn't forgive what she does.
No. Yeah, and it's a weird one. I mean, the end of that storyline will be, it looks like, that this guy that she's kissed is actually not what he seems, and he's up to something suspicious. There's something wrong with the boot of his car, is all we can say for now. But yeah, it's a strange one. I think the other thing to flag here with this storyline, and obviously it's really early on for us to kind of make any judgments, but it's getting some kind of pushback and reaction from fans, I think rightly so, because Emmerdale is doing this thing or approaching this quite potentially dangerous stereotype around bisexuality again, which is kind of potentially making Charity kind of look a bit kind of promiscuous, or not being able to kind of be in this stable relationship and kind of cheating on her girlfriend with this man. It kind of it approaches, like I say, this stereotype that like bisexual people can't be kind of in kind of happy committed relationships, or that they're always going to be kind of looking for someone new, which obviously is really problematic and kind of hurtful for lots of people.
Definitely.
And it's particularly, I think people are particularly sensitive to it with Emmerdale right now, because obviously if you remember a few years ago, there was big backlash when the show did something very similar with Robert when he cheated on Aaron. And this storyline kind of rings familiar. It sounds a bit like that one, and like I say, it's really early for us to kind of make any judgment, but it's just, you know, it's on our minds just as it's on the fans' minds that this is, you know, potentially an issue, potentially a problematic story.
I mean, it's part of a wider conversation, isn't it, like you say, about their depiction of bisexual characters and, you know, why they can't stay faithful. I mean, with Robert a few years ago, there's an argument that he cheats all the time on every partner that he has, but you know, and then, but now it's happening again with Charity. I think,
it becomes a bit of a pattern. I think that's
not
the problem,
particularly
right?
A good pattern.
Yeah, I mean, at the time with the Robert storyline, not to get too off track, but there, you know, the creators and the writers of the show were saying, oh, well, you know, this is Robert's character, and how much do we bend who we've written Robert to be to fit into concerns around his sexuality. But I think, you know, the problem with that is you are, when you're representing like a part of this community on your program, like you do have somewhat of a responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, that you can't kind of ignore that. And I think, like you say, with this storyline, with the cheating, it's kind of treacherous waters for Emmerdale to be wading into.
Yeah, definitely.
Again.
And like we said just now, like Charity is a self-destructive character. And again, she has cheated in the past, but I just don't believe she'd cheat on Vanessa. They're very solid. Yeah. And it just feels a bit unoriginal. Because
yeah, like do we need this?
Yeah, we don't have to have every single character cheat on their partner in soaps. I mean, I think you'd be hard pushed to find a couple that haven't had a cheating storyline at one point. And I don't think it was necessary here. I know Michelle Hardwick is on maternity leave, but I don't think we needed to have it here. No. They were solid, yeah, like you say, it's not necessarily particularly good pattern for Emily to have.
Yeah, exactly.
To be following.
Yeah, and then so onto kind of other weird storylines in Emmerdale, but for different reasons. The other kind of thing we wanted to talk about was the ongoing situation, let's call it, between Gabby, Layla, and Liam. Obviously, the past few weeks, we've kind of seen Gabby become kind of like unhealthily fixated on her friendship with Layla, and she's becoming kind of jealous of the time that Layla spends with her partner Liam. And then next week, it looks like it's going to escalate even further with Gabby trying to break them up. And it's a strange one, and I'm not quite sure where it's going to go, which is quite exciting.
Yeah. It's all a bit, I don't know if anyone's seen this, but the film, but Single White Female, I think that's what, Rosie Bentham was describing it as. She's got this fixation on Layla, but it's not a romantic thing. She just really wants, I think she's very lonely. She is, she's been through a lot, and she really wants a friend, but like to herself, but she's making some strange moves. It's a really odd one, isn't it? I mean, it's not ideal, really, for Layla to have the, she doesn't trust men as it is. So to think that when she thinks that Liam's cheating on her, that's kind of it. She's like, this is the end.
Yeah. So the thing that we see happen next week is Gabby send a bouquet of flowers to Mina, to newcomer Mina, and kind of sign them as if they're from Liam, and then make sure that Layla sees that Mina's got flowers from Liam. We shall
creepy,
see.
But
definitely.
Bit of all these creepy storylines in time for Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. It's October.
They know what they're doing, don't they? So I think that brings us to the end of the spoiler section. But as always, you can head over to digitalspy.com/soaps to get a full breakdown of all of next week's goings on. And in the meantime, you can subscribe if you want to get the episode as it lands on Friday mornings. Leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars. I mean, if you want. We don't mind, but would be great.
Yeah, every little helps. And you can, if you want more of the show and you've looked at all the spoilers and you've subscribed and you've given us 5 stars, you can follow us on Twitter at SoapScoop. And you can find us on Facebook at digitalspy.com/soaps. I'd recommend you do that. The Soaps are kind of Facebook pages. It's full of lots of lovely people and 100 super passionate fans about soaps of all kinds. So we would definitely recommend heading over there if you're looking for people to kind of chin wag to.
Yep, definitely. And have a great week. Keep it real, like Ian Beale. Or maybe don't, actually, because he's nothing real about what's going on with him at the moment. But keep it real like another character.
My only Ian Beale thing from recently, which made me laugh, was I was watching EastEnders the other day and they were talking about kind of unrequited love. And someone said, Sharon's sleeping with a baseball bat under her bed at the moment because of Ian. I thought, that sounds about right. So maybe don't keep it as quite as real as Ian.
No, keep it real like another character who is real and who rhymes with Beale.
All right, we shall see you next
week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.